My dear brothers, glancing through the pages of the very important book of the New Testament, the book of the Revelation, we read, "And a third angel followed them, saying in a great voice, 'Anyone who worships the beast and his image, thus receiving the engraving, the mark, on his forehead or on his hand, he will drink from the wine of God's fury. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, those who keep God's commandments and the faith of Jesus. Those that worship the Antichrist will receive the wrath of God." The holy evangelist, knowing in advance the painfulness and difficulties of those days, he suggests and pre-warns, "Here is the patience of the saints, those that keep God's commandments and the faith of Jesus." Saints are the Christians. Saint, or Agios in Greek, Agios, means holy. Holy God, Agios o Theos. It's an interesting interpretation that was offered by someone. Was Agios, not of this earth. However, Yis, the Greek word for earth, is spelled with an ita and not an iota. It's a big difference. So I believe this explanation or interpretation offered by this non-Greek theologian is a little far-fetched. The idea is good, but once again, Agios is spelled with an iota. Agios o Theos, holy God, and in the early church, the Christians were called holy ones, vessels of holiness. Why? Because they received the holy things of the most holy God. The holy of holies, we say in a divine liturgy. The Christians differ in holiness according to how much they adapted themselves to the life of the gospel. The word of God is equally planted in the heart of every Orthodox Christian. The holy sacrament of baptism is identical for all Orthodox Christians. But the seed of faith in some Christians is killed by the weeds, by the dryness, and so on, as we all know from the parable of Christ. Some Christians produce a lot of fruit, and some do not produce anything at all. Some produce 30, some 60, some 100. And all these producers go to paradise, but God will glorify those that produce 100, a little bit more than those that may have produced 20, 30, or 60. God glorifies those that glorify Him. He glorifies them in this life as well, and their sanctity passes on to their objects. This is why the miloti, or the scarf of Saint Elijah, was a powerful weapon in the hands of Elisha. And the sanctified bones, the holy bones of Saint Elisha, resurrected a dead person in the Old Testament. Because the Holy Spirit does not leave the body of God's elite after the first death. The Holy Spirit is pleased to continue to cover and stay with the bodies and objects of God's champions. If you noticed, all through our talks, we tried to give you some ammunition to defend our faith. So we can see scripturally why we have saints in our church. Saints with capital S. So here is the patience of the saints, those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. But why the patience? And the patience here precedes, it's placed before the commandments and the faith, because patience is the necessary element for the saints to overcome the afflictions all through history, and especially in the last days when the evil leadership of the entire world will demand the worship of the Antichrist. We will see this virtue of patience all through the scriptures, which is not limited to the simple dimension of everyday patience. We say, be patient until church is over, be patient, don't drive too fast, slow down, or be patient until your braces are off. But patience in the scripture has the dimension of endurance and perseverance, the God-given ability to hold on. We may be patient in our everyday affairs, but when the great tribulation begins, are we going to hold on? Who will be able to hold on when the properties, assets, and the bare necessities of the Christians will be confiscated? How can we prepare ourselves to hold on if these events take place in our days? St. John wants to tell us, he wants to warn us. Here it is. Here the saints will need all their patience and perseverance and endurance. And if someone does not have this virtue necessary for the daily struggles of life, then he will not have the reserves of patience necessary to make it through the final days of history. We must also say that this type of patience is a gift from the God of patience according to the Holy Scriptures. And this type of patience and endurance becomes secured when we keep God's commandments, as the Holy Evangelist says, and when this person believes in Jesus Christ. Here is the patience of the saints, those who keep God's commandments, and those that keep the faith in Christ. Those that increase the faith in Christ. Faith is a dynamic energy of God, just like love and patience. The more accurately we keep the commandments of Christ, our virtues will increase. The apostles asked Christ, add more faith to us. Prostes imin pistin. Increase our faith, so faith can be added and subtracted. So the constant increase of our faith in Jesus Christ, in the God-human person of Jesus Christ, and the austere keeping of his commandments will be the ingredient that will cement, galvanize our eschatological patience to see us through in those terrible days. The patience that we will need in the days where the earth will no longer be ruled by the will of God, but by the will of the Antichrist, the leadership of the ungodly and dark powers, which are already controlling the vast majority of the world governments, along with most of the Christian church bodies. So keeping the commandments of Christ and increasing our faith in the God-human person of Jesus Christ will serve as the solid foundation of the virtue of patient endurance. The keeping of the commandments of God is of paramount importance. We cannot talk about any relationship with Jesus Christ if we do not believe in his commandments. How many Christians today have no clue when it comes to the commandments of Christ? They are clueless. We have some people that come to the church with our hands in their pockets, staring at the four walls, or they may be chewing gum, or they may sit down and cross their legs like they're relaxing at the nearest diner or coffee house. By acting in this manner, they show to everyone that they have no relationship with God and his church. They are hibernating baptized Christians in hibernation, and we pray and hope that they do wake up at some point. The commandments of God are not 10, but hundreds. Let's never make the foolish heretical mistake of saying that the Old Testament is unnecessary and we can overlook it. What matters is the New Testament. Christ came to symplerosse, or fulfill and add more to the law, to fulfill the law. The Ten Commandments were given in the Old Testament, and they are certainly very valid. We also have hundreds of commandments that are planted all through the Scriptures. The book of Deuteronomy, the books of the prophets, are full of God's commandments. St. James, the brother of God, the first bishop of Jerusalem, says that if you keep the entire law and you break one commandment, you broke all the law, because our connection with God is linked together with the links of different virtues and commandments. Adam and Eve broke one link of the communication chain with God, and both Adam and Eve lost paradise. The commandment of God, the first commandment, was do not eat from this fruit. God allowed them to eat from hundreds of different fruits, but God always holds something back for himself to train us, to discipline us. Fasting is a commandment from God. Fasting develops willpower, strength of character, sacrifice of my own will, obedience to the spirit, and disobedience to the flesh. Fasting is a treasure. Fasting from food will transcend to fasting from the passions. True fasting is the expulsion of the evil in us, the control of the tongue, control of anger, control of temper, the separation from desires, gossiping, lying, and false swearing. All these things, according to St. Basil, consist of true fasting. But without the elementary exercise of food fasting, we will not develop any spirituality. We may have some biblical knowledge, and a lot of it, but its source will be the human intellect and not the Holy Spirit of God. The prophets fasted, the apostles fasted, Christ fasted, and all the Orthodox Christians must fast one way or the other. The reason why we don't have Greek Orthodox saints in this country is because we haven't kept the commandments and the lifestyle of our Christian forefathers. We keep a few commandments and we ignore the rest. We cannot add or subtract an iota from the words of God. An iota, what am I saying? We study Bibles and we have Bibles in our churches that subtract whole books of the Old Testament. To this day, we still do not have an Orthodox Bible translated by English-speaking Orthodox theologians. The commandments of God are many. Not working on a Sunday is a commandment of God. Paying our taxes is a commandment of God. Not wearing men's clothing and objects is a commandment of God. In those days, the robes of women were much different than the robes of men. God's words, a woman who dresses like a man is disgusting. Vdeligma. The word vdeligma is a very strong word. Do you know that the word vdeligma is used to describe a woman who dresses in men's clothing? And the same word is also used by the Holy Spirit to describe the Antichrist. To vdeligma tis erimoseos. I'm not going to use the language of the contemporary Greek theologians because you will never want to see me back here again, but in all honesty, I must state that the devout Christian women do not wear pants, period, and men do not wear earrings or dresses. St. Paul tells the Christian women to wear a covering on their heads. They did back then, and they were probably ridiculed by the women of idolatry. Wearing pants is much more serious than not covering the head. God uses most severe language for the unisex trend of our times, another sign of people's rebellion from God. So the keeping of God's commandments creates a cleansing of the heart. The faith in Jesus Christ lights the spark of love. And when the apostle says, faith, hope, love, faith leads to hope, and hope leads to love. These two, the cleansing of the heart and the faith, create the miracle of patient endurance. Faith and love, that is. St. Paul, who kept the commandments of God and was immersed in faith and love, could say in his epistle to the Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. But when could someone say these things? Only if they kept the commandments and the faith which leads to love. St. Paul reached the ultimate degree of endurance and patience to teach the gospel all over the known world and to become a martyr, to die for the love of Christ. We get a glimpse of this great miracle of the patient endurance of St. Paul in 2 Corinthians. St. Paul writes to the second epistle, in the second epistle to the Corinthians, rather, when he's accused by some false brothers. He's accused that he's a second-rate apostle because he's not receiving a monetary reward, and he's forced to defend his position for the sake of the gospel. And he writes, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all of the churches. We must repeat this over and over again, that the virtue of patience will be indispensable for the Christians of the last days. We have no idea what's ahead. Tomorrow things could change drastically. They could become very different for the Christian. And unless we prepare ourselves with inexhaustible reserves of patience, we will be in a terrible amount of difficulty. Patience is a priceless asset for all Christians, and without it, the kingdom of God will not be accessible. Our Lord taught us this: with your patience, you will save your souls. And the ground floor that cultivates the fruits of other virtues is patience. In the parable of the farmer sower, the Lord says that some of the seed fell on good earth, and the good earth is the heart of men. The seed that falls on good earth, that refers to the people that hear the word of God and they plant it deep in their heart. They take it seriously and they bear fruit. How do they do this? They bear fruit and ipomone. They bear fruit by their patience. We find this in Luke 8:15. Quite obviously, in the absence of patience, the development of virtues and the bearing of fruit is simply not possible. So we can plainly see that the good ground, the earth that will sprout the plants and fruits of virtues, is patience. Patience is the weapon that empowers the faithful against depression and worldly sadness. Many people are depressed as a result of patience exhaustion. People that lack patience become depressed and cannot be comforted to the point of death. This is precisely why depression is a sin that leads to death, spiritual death, and many times bodily death. In our days, we have the controversial phenomenon of euthanasia. Euthanasia, or rather medical assisted suicide, is the inability to cope with an unpleasant and painful condition. Our holiest people of this century had multiple diseases, cancer, and unbearable pain. Father Porfirios, Father Paisios, Father Philotheos Zervakos, Father Iacobo Tsalikis, Saint Nectarios, Saint Savas of Kalymnos, they all suffered with chronic, incurable, extremely painful diseases, and most of them refused medicine. Father Paisios and Father Porfirios, don't be scandalized by this. We can explain later if you have a problem with this. They asked God to give them cancer. Father Paisios, in answering thousands of letters, he was noticing that people today either had a problem with cancer or marital problems, and due to these things, they had deep psychological problems. So he thought to himself, well, how can I comfort these people? I don't have a wife. I'm not married. I don't have a marital problem. I don't have any psychological problems. So by asking God to give me cancer, I can share something. I can share in the pain of these people and comfort them. So if they would say, Father, pray for me. I have cancer. I can say, don't worry, I have the same thing. So in the absence of this God-given gift of patience, people become frustrated, indignant, depressed, and unwilling to live. This phenomenon of euthanasia is simply the inability to endure the cross. The wisdom of Sirach in the Old Testament says that many people lost their lives from grief, which leads to depression and death. Patience is a great weapon against discouragement and all the things that go wrong in one's lifetime. And many times people look at patience as a form of weakness. They feel that the meek person, the person of meekness and patience, acts in this manner because there's nothing that he can do, because he cannot do otherwise. There's no other course of action. On the contrary, explosiveness or loss of patience is looked upon as strength. This is a big mistake. Patience is a tremendous power, and a person that blows up and explodes shows weakness. The impatient person in his depth is a great egotist. He wants his way or her way and now. He or she cannot wait. This is why patience is connected with humility. How many couples divorce because of egotism? Most of them. The wife may say to the husband, let's dig up the garden today, for example. The husband, for whatever reason, may say, no, I don't feel like doing it now. I'll do it tomorrow. The impatient wife throws a temper tantrum, runs out of the house, and begins to do this task all by herself. Or we need to buy new furniture now. And this sort of friction begins very soon, even before the honeymoon is over. Why? Because the selfish person wants to be served. He is the only thing that counts in his environment. The humble person will have patience and understanding for the feelings of his neighbor. Saint Isaac the Syrian, in his 46th homily, says that during hard times, patience is given according to the measure of our humility. So when our life becomes unbearable from all sorts of problems, our patience level will be in direct proportion with our humility level. In a final analysis, patience, especially the patience necessary in the last days, is a fruit or a gift of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says in the 5th chapter of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, makrothymia. This is the Greek word, makrothymia. Long-suffering is a term for extreme patience. Forbearance, or makrothymia, is to be understood as patience. And patience in an advanced stage. Forbearance, as we explain in the studies of the Epistle of St. James, is an uncreated energy of God. God is makrothymos. He forbears, meaning he does not act impulsively. He waits and waits and waits. He waited for the prodigal son to return year after year after year. He waited years. He waited for Noah's generation to repent. It took 100 years for the flood to begin after the initial announcement to Noah. In forbearance, a person has the ability to act, to change something, but he decides to patiently wait and allow God to intervene. A person who's terminally ill has the ability to medically end his life, but he painfully awaits for God's will to be done. This type of forbearance cannot be achieved without first climbing the steps of simple patience. We have people that are patient by their very nature. We often find people that are meek and patient in their makeup, something that relates to their character. This natural patience or commonness can be found in certain people. This is not necessarily the patience or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Patience in its natural dimension will help even the unbeliever or the atheist. A person who does not believe can study to become a scientist, to become an athlete, a musician, an artist. Without this natural element of patience, a person can never succeed in anything. People work patiently for years to accumulate wealth. But the spiritual dimension of patience is needed to achieve heavenly gifts, heavenly wealth. For me to uproot my evil passions, fight evil thoughts, limit my weakness, and develop virtues, I need patience. A different type of patience that cannot be found in my being. It can only be given to me from the Spirit of God. St. Paul says in Hebrews, let's run the race that lies ahead with patience. To fight this good fight, to win the race that will lead to our destination, to see God face to face. And this is our destination.